Praise God. So I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about light. Light. And, you know, we want to see God in the light of the gospel, or in the light of the word, or in the light of who he is. And, you know, the way you're going to know more about God than anything else is in the word. That's how you're going to get to know who he is. I've said this so many times. People will get born again, they meet him, but they never get to know him. Because the only way they can get to know him is if they spend time in the word. And the word is what causes you to know what God's like, his character, and what he does and what he don't do. And if you don't ever get in the word of God, you're not going to know God. I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but you're not going to know God. You might have met him, but you don't know him. And that's why Jesus told them at that one point in time when they came. He said, we cast out devils in your name. We prophesied in your name. Jesus looked at them, I never knew you. He meant in a relationship and in fellowship. That's what he meant. And so, you know, we need to get to know God. That when somebody comes up and starts telling you all kinds of wacky things about God, you know better. There's people in here that's been healed. How many's ever been healed by God? Raise your hand in this house. Now, what are you going to do if somebody comes up and tells you, well, God's not healed today? Well, I know what you're going to tell them. Will he heal me? Am I right? Will he heal me? And he's no respecter of persons. So if he's no respecter of persons, he'll heal you too. Actually, if we look at it through the scripture, you'll find out he's already healed you. By his stripes, you're healed. So I want to talk about light this morning. I want to start in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 5. We're just going to read one verse in this particular chapter. Father, we thank you for your word, that it's light and about to illuminate our minds in Jesus' name and our hearts. He says this. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. Everybody shout, God is light. Now notice what the next part says. And in him is no darkness at all. We know what that means, don't we? I mean, we're from Texas, but we still know what that means. In him there's no darkness what? At all. At all. So many people don't even know what darkness means. They don't know that everything in darkness, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, all those things that came in at the fall. They don't understand that. So they just assume we can put all this on God, light or darkness. God's all light, God's all darkness. Well, if you read the scripture, and we'll see a lot of other scriptures, that God is light. In light, there's life, there's peace, there's joy, there's healing. All those things in light. And so, you know, we look at this and we say, well, you know, because I told y'all this story the other day and some of y'all weren't here, so I'll say it again. Sometimes I just like to hear myself repeat something. In fact, I repeat scriptures over myself all the time. And I reread the scriptures. But anyway, when we was in Tulsa the other day and of course, me and my wife, we have Christmas TV, and we have a BVOV in, and we watch it. And at night when we go to bed, well, Linda puts it on, and that's when I lose a lot of sleep, because I'll be waking up listening to him preach like I did last night and the night before. But the thing about it is, when we was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they didn't have BVOV in; they had a Christian station. Let me just throw this out here, and I'm gonna give you free advice. Well, not really. We done paid us. That not everything that calls itself Christian is Christian. And there's shows I won't watch, because I will not subject myself to them talking what the Word does not talk about God. And so I heard a guy one time on TV, and he said, there's not a literal hell. It was just a figure of speech or something. Boy, if you jump in on that, you in trouble. Huh? But anyway, I was in a dead sleep. I woke up and I heard this guy ministering, and I heard him talking, and I was down asleep in Tulsa, and all of a sudden I heard him talk about all the bad. God does all the bad. God does all the good. God is light. He's darkness. He's all this. And I looked, Linda had the remote, and I woke her up and I said, turn that off. We are not going to let that go into us while we're asleep. Did you know what you're listening to is going into you? Because it's words. Those words are accomplishing something in your life. And what you find out is you start saying it. But anyway, I know this. I know God. I know God. He's my Father. And He's a good God. I said, He's a good God. And you can't convince me anything otherwise. You can spend all the rest of your life and try to convince me. First of all, I wouldn't listen to you that long. But the thing about it is, you got to understand, people are trying to convince you that God is ugly, He's mean, He's bad, but you know better. I don't even listen to it. I cut it off. And it says this in the Message Bible, the latter part of that says, God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in Him. The Amplified, the latter part of that says, God is light and there is no darkness in Him at all. No, not any way. There's no way God has any darkness in Him. I want you to look over in the book of Revelations. I'm just kind of go in order of how the Holy Ghost led me last night to put these scriptures together. In chapter 21 of Revelations, and we're going to start with verse 22. Praise God. And I'm actually going to read this in the New Living Translation, Teresa, if you can punch that up there. Wow. If you can find it, I'm pushing the wrong button on mine. I'm trying to find it. Kind of freaks me out when I push the wrong button on this thing and I lose everything. I go, oh my God, I'm in trouble. We're going to start with verse 21. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Verse 22, I'm reading the New Living Translation. And I like this. God just brought it because we're talking about God's light. He's light. He loves light. He says, I saw no temple in the city. We're talking about heaven, New Jerusalem. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. And the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you thought about heaven, you know, I know what some people are thinking. You know, we ain't gonna get to sleep in heaven. I love to sleep. Well, I enjoy my rest myself. And we get to think, isn't it amazing how sometimes we think things like, you know, there's no sleeping in heaven. There ain't no bed in my mansion. Well, I tell you what, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be thinking about not, have you ever been anywhere that you wish there were more daylight time where you could spend doing what you need to do, want to do? Well, guess what? When you get to heaven, you have plenty of daylight to go around. But notice what it says, the Lamb is the light. They don't need the sun. They don't need the moon. In other words, heaven is illuminated by the glory of God. And in fact, the Bible says in God, there's no shadow of turning. You ain't even gonna be able to find a shadow in heaven. You know why? Because God's light. God loves light. Everybody shout, God loves light. And my wife, I know, is made in His image because she, if I let her, every light in my house will be on. I go through the house hitting light switch. I don't know if any of you men are like me, but I go through the light behind my wife and she said, what are you doing? I'm going back in there. I said, you can turn it back on. No problem. It'll come right back on. And I'll go in there and I think she thinks her shoes need the light in her closet. We'll cut the lights off at night. And I said, your closet light's on.
Hey, I wasn't talking. You leave the coat light on.
Oh. My coat, well, I have done that. But very seldom. But the thing about it is there's nothing wrong with light. God is light. Heaven is lit up. And I'm going there one day. And I'm going to enjoy the light of the Lamb. The glory that's in heaven. Open your Bible, if you will. Listen, we went to the back of the book. Let's go to the front of the book. All the way to Genesis. Chapter 1. This is the book of beginnings. And we're going to start with verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. What was it before? Darkness. God is not into darkness. He's into light. When he looked at it, that word also means chaos. In that word darkness, and it was over the face of the earth, and God stood out there in the middle of the dark, and he said, let there be light. Why? God wants light. So what we'd do today, if we wanted light, we'd hit a light switch. And light would come on. Well, God hit the light switch all right. By his words, he said, light be. And when light be, darkness left. He said, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now listen to what he said. And he divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So God divided the light from the darkness. And that's exactly what's taking place today. The light is being divided from the darkness. Listen, I believe before Jesus comes back, it's going to be so prevalent of the darkness and the light that people's going to say, man, that is dark and that is light. And we're experiencing things all the time in this world of darkness. Listen to me. You hear of all kinds of, now you hear of people killing their family, shooting their family, shooting their kids, doing all, that's darkness. That's wicked. That's evil. God has no hand in that. He has no part in that. You know, I often think about how when people says, well, God did this or God did that. Listen to me. If it's bad and if it's ugly and it's evil or wicked, how can God have any part in it when he tells us not to do it? Huh? Well, God did this. Listen, God killed that. Or listen, here's the deal. God told us not to do that. So why would he do what he told us not to do? Kind of like, I guess we tell our kids, you can tell our kids sometimes, and if you're a good parent, you'll tell your kids the warnings or watch out for certain things. You'd probably tell your kid, if your kid wanted to go play out in the street, don't play in the street, because if you play in the street, you might get run over. Right? That was a good parent. Is that mean? Now, if they got out and got run over in the street, and got killed, are they going to say their daddy did it? No, daddy told me not to get out in the street. Because if I did, I'd get run over and I'd get hurt and maybe killed. But is anybody going to blame daddy? Most likely not. But what happens with God? He'll get blamed. So why? Because we don't understand he's life, he's light, and he's good. Come on, church, can y'all help me a little bit? Praise God. So let's go to go on down the book a little bit. And in the same chapter. And I want to go to verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and he blessed them. Well, if God's light, how did he create man to be light? Right? If God's light, he created us in his image. And that, guess what we are? Light. Man was created to be light. And so God created Adam and Eve, and they were in God's image and in his likeness. I think sometimes we forget how God created man in his image and in his likeness to be just like God. Even John says, as he is, so are we in this world. And so we're talking about light this morning. And God made us in His image, in His likeness. Look at chapter 2. I know I'm skipping a lot of verses. Verse 15 says this, and then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely what? Surely what? Is God get, it's kind of like us telling our kids, don't play in the street. Right? Don't play in the street. He said, listen, there's a tree in the middle of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil. He said, if you eat in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. In other words, he's telling them, don't eat from that tree. Right? I mean, you can't get no simple. This is God telling a man created in His image, in His likeness, not to eat of a certain tree put in the garden. I said this the other day. When I was younger and didn't know what the Word of God and didn't know a lot of stuff about it, I would often wonder, why did He put it there? Why did He then put it? If you had the ability to put something there that's going to harm your children and you not to put that in there that wouldn't harm your children, then why would you put it there? Why? But here's why God did it. Can I tell you why God did it? Because He wants you to serve Him by choice. By choice. Everybody gets to choose to worship God, serve God, be a child of God or not. And so He said, you'll surely die. And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable. And out of the ground He formed man and done all that. And let's see, I think that might be as far as I wanted to go on that. Let's see. That's as far as I wanted to go. He said, when you eat it, you'll surely what? You'll surely what? Man created in His image. Guess what God is? Light. Guess what man was? Light. Am I right? I mean, if you just put it all together. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you what? Did she know what he said? Did she know what he said? She obviously knew what he said. Now, she added touch, and I guess there was temptation there, but it said, we may eat of all the fruits, trees of the garden. How many knows was a lot of trees in that garden? He said, you can eat them all, just not that one. Isn't it amazing when something is so enticing to people to tell them you shouldn't be doing that, that's what they're drawn to? I mean, kids are that way. Teenagers are that way. Knowing that I ought not do that, but there's a drawing to it. That's darkness pulling on them. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Knowing good and it. Now listen to me. I thought about this last night as I was reading this, and he said they'll know good and evil. So up to that point, they only knew good. Up to that point, they only knew good. They didn't know evil. They only knew good. Right? God is good. God is good. When you eat it, you're not just going to know good, but you're also going to know evil. Now, if you think about this, obviously that you're not using your head, because if all you have is good, why would you even want to be affiliated with evil? But obviously, all they knew was good, and he said, you're going to know good, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, God did know good and evil, but he literally was protecting man from evil. Thank you. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You know, he was right there with her. He was listening to the whole conversation the devil said. Did you know that? Could he have done anything at that point to stop it? Absolutely. He could have said, no, we're not going to touch this. You know what God told us. We're not going to do it. We're not going to partake of something that's going to bring death. They didn't even know what death was. God created man to live forever right there, for eternity. Their spirit was alive. They was light. They was in the image of God. Actually, if you can stand it, they were the God of this world, this earth. Adam and Eve was. They were in charge. Did he put them in charge? I want you to, actually the Amplified says, I want you to guard and keep it. Well, God knew something's going to come in to try to interfere with what he said, to try to entice them to do something they ought not be doing. God said, don't do it. Listen to me. We can know what right from wrong, but there's an enemy out there that will try to draw you into the wrong. Try to pull you into wrong. Even in our spirits when we know it's wrong to do it. So the woman saw that they went and they ate, and she gave her husband and they ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, let's read. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." You say, what happened at that point? He said, "You're going to die." Actually, some translation says, the second you eat, you die. Did you know the second they ate, they died? But they died spiritually. What happened? The light got turned off. And darkness invaded their being. You hearing me? Darkness, the light. When they ate that fruit, the light went off. What? Listen to me. The glory lifted off of them. You say, how? And you know, here's the deal. They knew immediately that something changed. Am I right? They knew immediately when they ate that fruit, something changed. They knew something inside of them changed. In other words, now they said they're naked. They didn't notice they were naked before. Why? Because they were. They did have clothing on. They were clothed with the light. They was clothed with the glory of God. And the moment that light went off, they said, oh my God, things are being exposed because of what I know. Now listen, if they'd have continued to live and not have ate of that tree, they would have, did you know they would have never had to have a JCPenney's? Or a Dillard's or a Walmart or a Cavender's? Huh? You say, ooh, that might have been fun to run around naked all the time. Did you know if we'd still been in the Garden of Eden today, I wouldn't known you as naked? He said, why? The glory. The glory. What happened was God made him in his image light. And when they ate that fruit, the light switch got turned off and darkness came in. Darkness came into their lives. And now what was the first thing they did? They went and hid themselves from God. And God says, where are you? He said, we were naked. And notice what God said. Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Now, if you're naked and you don't know it, something's got you covered. Huh? Who told you you were naked? Did you know nobody had to tell them when the light got switched off, when darkness came in, it was revealed. Their flesh was revealed. Their flesh was revealed. And I'm telling you, that's the same way with us today. We can keep the light switch on or we can turn the light switch off. But I tell you what happens when you turn the light off, your flesh will be revealed. And your flesh will begin to try to take over. Oh, hallelujah. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Now this next verse kind of goes with the way men are today. The man said, the woman. That woman. You said he blamed the woman. No, he didn't. Let's see who he blamed. The woman whom you gave me. The woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me and I ate the tree and I ate the fruit. That woman, God, you gave me that woman. God could have said, you wasn't complaining it too much when I brought her to you. I didn't hear you complaining when I brought her. He said, whoa, man. She's now flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Oh, glory to God. Come here, mama. As soon as he gets caught up, he says, that woman you gave me, God, I'd be all right if you hadn't gave me that woman. So ladies, you know why we're not in the Garden of Eden? Because of Adam. Because here's what I believe. I believe that Adam could have, even if she ate that fruit, I believe since he was the head of that union, I believe he could have said, God, I intercede for her. But the thing about it is Adam was there, he could have stopped it before it happened. Am I right? And so he said, that woman you gave me, gave me of the tree and I ate it. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. She was the honest one. The serpent deceived me and I ate. So she was deceived. Adam just committed high treason against God. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than any beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now he's prophesying of Jesus right there. But notice what it goes on to say. To the woman he said, listen to this, women. I will greatly multiply your sorrow during conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. But notice what it said. Did you realize you could have had a baby with no pain? Just spurt that baby out. Hey, we good. When do you do? Right now. Hallelujah. I just had that child. We need y'all need to even start need to claim back that promise, you know, because Jesus bought back what we lost. And to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Listen, I believe all the how would you have liked to live in the garden? I believe the Garden of Eden had a thermostat in it, and it was a perfect temperature. All the time they worked in them trees, they probably never sweat. Don't you imagine when they started working, he said, what the heck is this coming out of my head? It's sweat. Listen, it wasn't a labor when they was in the garden tending all those trees. It was a joy. It was just a part of their life. It was something God gave them to do. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Listen, that's the first shedding of blood right there for the atonement. Listen to this. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now he was already like God, but now they know evil. And now lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. You say, why did God drive him out of Eden? Because here's the deal. There was the tree of life in that garden. And if Adam would have ate on that tree of life after he had sinned, he had lived in that fallen condition for eternity. And there would have been no redemption for him, because they ate life and they had lived in that sin, dark, light off condition. God loved them so much he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. Now, if you'll read Corinthians, you'll find out that the devil became, Satan became the god of this world. Actually, if you'll read in Luke chapter 4, you'll find out when Jesus went to the Mount of Temptation, one of the temptations the devil brought to him said, he said, look at this. If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world because they have been given to me. Who gave them to him? Adam. Adam turned it over to the devil. Now, all everybody wants to say, well, I don't know why all the evil's in the world. Why? Well, listen, if the God of this world was a murderer, a liar, a thief, a cheat, a destroyer, what do you think the world's going to be like? And that's who it was turned over to. Glory to God. I hope this is helping somebody. Let's go to Exodus real quick, and I'll probably end with this. I got a lot I could preach. Exodus 10. Because, listen, we can read all this and we find out, but listen, things changed with Jesus. Things changed with Jesus. He actually brought, Jesus came and turned the light back on. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, that's what Chip Brim was talking about, the glory. And I was reading this last night because we're talking about light. We just needed to kind of go through where so we see where darkness came into man's life and death came into man's life. Well, even when Adam and Eve died, when they ate that fruit, the Bible says they died. In other words, they were separated from God. They died spiritually. But they lived hundreds of years after that. It took a long time for their bodies to die. And it kind of shortened through the years. But the thing about it is they died spiritually, separated from God, and God shed blood and done all that. God loved man so much that he tried every way in the world to keep fellowship with man. That's why all the blood sacrifices, atonements, all those things took place. And y'all know all about that in there. But I wanted to talk about, since we're talking about light, and I went to this last night, when God was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, which Egypt was a type of the world, and all the plagues that he sent upon the land because Pharaoh would not let him go. But I want to look at the ninth plague. In verse 21 of Exodus 10, it says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. And all the children of Israel, why? Because God's light. I said, because God's light. Now, if you have darkness that can be felt. And it was so dark that they couldn't even get out of their place for 3 days. Why? Because they couldn't see nothing. Have you ever wondered that there's darkness? They couldn't even light a candle. Maybe they couldn't find it. So when our lights go off, I know exactly where my flashlight's at. If I have to feel around, I can find it in the dark. But here's what, when it stuck out at me, there was light in Goshen. The Israelites had light in their dwellings, in their houses. Have you ever wondered, I guess maybe I just wondered these things when I read, how come the Egyptians didn't see that light over there? So I'm going to the land of Goshen. They couldn't see past their hand. It was so thick and heavy. But it was in their dwelling. And my mind, I was asking Linda this last night. I called her. I was in my back bedroom studying and all. And I said, have you ever thought about that? The light that was in the dwellings of the Israelites? Why? They're the children of God. He brought them out of Egypt, brought them out of the world, brought them out of darkness in that sense. And I was saying, I've always thought it this way. Y'all may know what I'm fixing to say before I ever say it, because y'all might be a lot smarter than me and a whole lot more advanced than me. But I also thought they had a little candle or something lit in there. A little twickering little candle. Probably where you have to, candles don't put out a lot of light, so you gotta have that thing with you where you go, and you gotta look and far. Or they didn't have batteries back then, flashlights, I don't think. Maybe they had coal oil lamps, whatever lamps they had and stuff like that, that'd go like this. But as I was reading in the Amplified Bible, it says there was but the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. And the Amplified says this, but all the Israelites had natural light in their dwelling. Natural light in their dwelling. Natural is opposed to artificial or acquired. So when I looked at that, and light means illumination, brightness, clear. I believe this. And it, when we get to heaven, if y'all disagree with me, y'all take it up with God and say, tell me what the light was in Goshen. I believe their lights, their houses were lit up like this church is lit up right now. Because it wasn't a natural, I mean, it wasn't an artificial light, something that you acquire through a candle or a lamp. It was an illumination, not of natural thing, but of a supernatural thing. I believe God showed up in His glory in their houses, right in the middle of all that was going on in Egypt, right in the middle of the darkness was all over the planet, all over that known world at that time. And God shows up in their house with brilliance and illumination and light. That's the way it's happening right now today. In believers' houses, light is illuminating your home. I'm not talking about the light like that. I'm talking about the spiritual aspect of this thing. God don't want us falling around trying to find ourselves and where we're going. God says, I'm going to put light not only in you, but in your homes. Hallelujah. I read that and I got so excited. I thought, wow, that kind of threw my candle idea out. And a lamp or something. Because it wasn't a natural light. It was a supernatural light. God is into supernatural. I said, God's into supernatural. And I'm telling you, He wants us to have the best life ever. He wants us to know who He is. You know, I'm kind of, let me read a couple of scriptures that I wrote down. What time is it? Oh, you know I can't let you out at 12. Y'all start expecting that stuff. Some of y'all said, I'm ready to eat. Well, I am too, but I'm going to read. Let me see why I wrote this down. Exodus 13, verse 21 says this. I'm talking about how God's light and how He likes light, okay? Verse 21 says, Exodus 13 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. In other words, God kept light over His people when they were traveling out of Egypt. Isn't that right? Even a fire by night so they wouldn't be in the darkness. Man, I'm telling you, God is light. God is love. God is caring. God is good. I'm going to read just a couple and I'm going to close. I've got a lot I could preach. I just can't do it this morning all. Psalms 89:15, the New Living Translation says, happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship. For they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. Psalms 118:27 says, God is the Lord and He has given us light. The New Living Translation of that says, the Lord is God shining upon us. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119:130 says, the entrance of your words gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. God is into light. God wants us to be in the light. And we'll get in that as I continue on with this and get into the New Testament and stuff like that. But listen, I just want you to know God's good. God is good. God is good. You know, if He wanted to wipe me out, He could have done it a long time ago. Huh? But He's not. He loves you. He loves people. I said, He loves people. My goodness. I guarantee it grieved God that day when they ate that fruit. It grieved Him. Because now I can no longer fellowship with the man the way I desired to, walking in the cool of the day. Did you know He couldn't show up in the cool of the day no more? And just visit with His man Adam and His Eve and just fellowship. But we know He had a plan from the foundation of the world. Did you know it didn't catch God off guard? When people mess up, God says, oh my God, I didn't think they'd ever do that. He knows we're human. He had a plan. He had Jesus in the making plan before they ever fail. Before they ever fail. But it'd been nice if they hadn't have. Huh? So I'm telling you something. If we fail, God will raise us up. He'll forgive us. But I just want you to know today, God's not mean. And whatever situation you're in or condition you may be in, and it's not good, it's not God. My Bible tells me in James that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from God. So listen, Adam and Eve didn't know evil until they ate of that tree. When the light switch was cut off. But thank God in the new birth, the light switch is turned back on. And God literally causes a rebirth in your spirit man. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again. Paul put it this way in Romans. He said, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, you'd be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he said, it's so easy to get the light turned back on. It's so easy. It's so easy. If you don't pay your electric bill at your house, you know what they do? Turn it off. Is it easy to get it back? Well, if you don't have the money, it's not really easy to get it back on. But it's real simple to go get it turned back on. Call them up, say, I'm paying the money, and they'll click that light right back on. God hated when the light was off in man. But he was thrilled when the light of the world, Jesus, came. And when we accepted him, we turned that light back on. And we became glorious in God again. And we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have eternity inside of us, eternal life. God wants to fellowship with you. God wants you to know Him in a special way. Know that He's good. Don't let anybody talk you out of the goodness of God. And I thank God here at Word of Life Family Worship Center that we understand the goodness of God, that God's good.
Yes, He is.
Because if you think God's a part of the evil, you're not going to resist it. And He says you have to resist the devil before he will flee from you. So we're not assisters, we're resistors when it comes to darkness. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the light and the life of God. Father, when we come to know you, we not just want to have said we met you, but we want you to know, we want to get to know you, to know all about you, to know all about your goodness, all about your mercy, all about your grace, all about your love, all that you are. So we love you today, and we appreciate you so much for all that you've done and all that you're doing. God, we have the opportunity to help somebody turn the light back on in their life. God, if they're born again, they just need to rekindle the fire. What a good God you are.